It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
Meteorologist warns of weather wars between countries. That's new from Newsweek.com. A meteorologist has warned of potential, quote, weather wars between countries if cloud seeding gets out of hand. The Newsweek report then states, quote, the Dubai floods act as a stark warning of the unintended consequences we can unleash when we use such technology to alter the weather. The report continues, additionally, we have little control over the aftermath of cloud seeding, where exactly it is going to be raining effectively, using techniques such as cloud seeding to bring much needed rainfall in one area can cause flash floods and droughts in another. Let's stop there for a moment. Just cloud seeding? Really? Just small single engine propeller driven planes with a few flares on the wings that can only manage to distribute a few kilos of materials into the skies at best? That's it? Did the U.S. military decide to never again use its four-engine massive cargo planes to do weather warfare like they did so effectively with Project Popeye in Vietnam? And of course, now we have much more capable four-engine jet tankers like KC-135s that can carry up to 100 tons of material in a single payload. Please look up. The most recognized geoengineer, Dr. David Keith, has many times stated on film and on the record, his proposals for climate engineering, putting tens of millions of tons of geoengineering nanoparticles into the atmosphere annually. Materials like aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, graphene, the list goes on. Are we to believe that that can be done with single-engine propeller-driven planes that can carry a few pound payload at best via the use of flares on the wings? Localized small-scale weather modification operations are used as a smoke screen to mask the exponentially more massive global climate intervention operations. This has always been the case. For the record, the entire so-called climate science community, along with governments around the world, are stating on the record that due to the accelerating planetary meltdown, we need to, they say, deploy jets to spray light-scattering particles into skies all over the world in order to block the sun, aka solar radiation management, or acronym SRM. But governments and militaries would surely tell us before doing anything this drastic, wouldn't they? Well, who in the world could possibly believe that the criminal cartels known as governments all over the world, not siding with any of them, would ever admit to anything they do at this point? No, they won't. Denial to the brutal, bitter end. And sadly, far too many in populations remain all too willing to embrace their denial, eyes wide shut, till the moment of impact, which draws near. On that note, this question, is World War III just beginning? Or in fact, has it long since begun and is ongoing in our skies and in many other forms on the ground? How many have no interest in the truth of what is actually occurring and why? Of who is actually pulling the strings and has been for longer than most dare to face? Newsweek then goes on to backtrack and downplay the Dubai deluge as being the result of anything they just stated. Nothing to see here. Move along. And whatever you do, don't look up. This is Dane Wigington. You're listening to the weekly installment of the commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Report, the End of the World as We Know It broadcast, brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of climate engineering operations, a.k.a. weather warfare. Reaching a critical mass of awareness is the only way forward in this fight. We must reach a critical mass by starting a conversation on the climate engineering issue that leads people to a credible source of data. Geoengineeringwatch.org will continue all of our efforts to be the go-to source on covert climate engineering operations. Start a conversation on climate engineering with Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials available on our homepage. If we can fully expose weather warfare, so many other truths would be forced to the full light of day with it. Moving on, and why does Dubai get the spotlight when such events are unfolding and accelerating all over the world? oil, and money. More on the Dubai scenario and the attempt to cover it up. From MSN.com, intensified rainfall and urban chaos. Dubai's cloud seeding program backfires with flooding. The United Arab Emirates, recognizing its vulnerability to water scarcity, initiated cloud seeding in 2002, striving to secure its water resources. However, the technology has shown its double-edged nature, as the absence of sufficient drainage systems in many areas has facilitated the current flooding crisis. They continue, recent events suggest that the embrace of this technology has not been met with the necessary infrastructure adaptations to manage excessive rainfall. In an ironic twist, the very interventions designed to sustain the nation's water supply have now inundated its cities. The dilemma faced by the UAE is emblematic of the broader challenges associated with, wait for it, geoengineering. The MSN report continues with this, as nations worldwide explore innovative technologies to combat environmental issues, the interplay between human intervention and natural systems becomes increasingly complex. Again, really? Just quote complex? Here's a more on-the-mark definition. Unimaginably destructive. Devastatingly destructive. And before I forget this very important, very good news update, as Geoengineering Watch has posted with a short video report on Tuesday of this week, Tennessee is now the first state to make climate engineering operations illegal in their airspace. The courageous governor of Tennessee has now signed into law legislation that bans any form of climate engineering in their skies. The Tennessee bill should be used as the template for all other states to follow. It has and is raising desperately needed awareness of the ongoing climate intervention operations, exactly what the powers that shouldn't be don't want. On that note, here's an example from this week, also posted at MSN.com. Tennessee just passed a bill banning, quote, chemtrails, which are not real. Been over this before, and that is the term that Matrix Media and the powers that shouldn't be want us to use, the non-science term, so that people that are new to this subject Google that term, and of course Google can't be trusted for anything either, and they come straight to conspiracy theory and hoax instead of science. Stick to the science terms. We're playing chess. We need to play effectively and efficiently. This MSN report then says, several witnesses who testified before the Tennessee legislature cited debunked conspiracy theories. Debunked by who? Where's a fact? Show me one fact, MSN. Theories that speculated about secret government geoengineering programs, according to, Scott Banbury, conservation director of the state's branch of the Sierra Club, an environmental organization. Their claims were troubling, he said. The Sierra Club's disinformation actor, Scott Banbury, continued with the statement, quote, as a serious environmental organization, if what was in the bill, geoengineering, was actually going on, we, the Sierra Club, would be calling for a stop to it, he said. It's not happening, end quote. Went over this partly last week, but this needs to be repeated. Mr. Banbury, what a relief. We can all go back to keeping our eyes wide shut and ramming our heads as far in the sand as we can, because Sierra Club's Scott Banbury says geoengineering isn't so. For the record, the so-called Sierra Club, like so many other self-proclaimed environmental organizations, continue to play the part of absolute hypocrites by not only ignoring the single most destructive human activity ever deployed by the human race, environmentally speaking, so far, nuclear cataclysm could come next, but actually flat out denying climate engineering without a single shred of fact to back up their criminal denial, all protecting their 501c3 nonprofits. And we know this to be true because our attorneys at geoengineeringwatch.org have spoken to attorneys from every major environmental group, and that's exactly what they were told off the record. Don't want to lose our nonprofit status, so therefore, let's ignore the single most environmentally destructive factor of all. Total hypocrisy. Is our government and other governments, are they any different than the Sierra Club? Not so much. No matter how many times the U.S. government and its Matrix Media mouthpiece lie and deceive the masses, and no matter in how many ways, all that the criminal cabal in Washington has to do is start pumping up the false patriotism, propaganda, and the freshly scripted batch of lies is yet again gulped down by far too many, mixing in some meaningless political theater all along the way, right? Back to Dubai. And then comes the far beyond draconian Dubai PR damage control campaign. This is part of the cover-up end of this story. Consider this next headline on Dubai from the UK Independent. Storm warning. It is illegal to post, quote, irresponsible pictures of storms online, Dubai authorities say. From this UK independent report, posting negative images or rumors about the recent flooding in the United Arab Emirates could be punished under the country's cybercrime laws. The report then says it is illegal to post pictures of storms online, authorities in the United Arab Emirates have warned. Posting negative images or rumors about the recent flooding could be punished under the country's cybercrime laws, the Interior Ministry said. Damaging the country's reputation online is punishable by imprisonment and a fine of up to 1 million Emirati dirhams. That's their currency, I guess, which is the equivalent of 189,500 euros. That's a substantial sum of money, isn't it? If you post a picture of a storm that mainstream media has stated was from seeding online, that's what could happen to you. Let's add more to this from AYY News, that's TV Dubai. It's now illegal to post storm pictures online. Dubai authorities warn again. Same official said people were, quote, spreading rumors and behaving, quote, irresponsibly on social media. Yes, behaving irresponsibly. How dare citizens tell the truth and share photos of the same? The noose is being tightened all over the world. Time isn't on our side. Wake up and speak out while you can. Before getting to the Dubai deluge backtracking part or more of it, here's another report to consider from Bloomberg.com. Dubai grinds to standstill as cloud seeding worsens flooding. Maybe Bloomberg is going to end up in jail if there's any of them in Dubai. Seeding planes used to take advantage of low-pressure system. This is all from the Bloomberg report, word for word. Heavy rain disrupts transportation systems and closes UAE schools. The Gulf States National Center of Meteorology dispatched seeding planes from a Dubai airport on Monday and Tuesday, again, all from the Bloomberg report, to take advantage of convective cloud formations, according to Ahmed Habib, a specialist meteorologist. That technique involves implanting chemicals and tiny particles, all from the Bloomberg report. Let's stop there for a moment. So sorry, one more footnote about those, quote, tiny particles just mentioned by Bloomberg. Microplastics are showing up virtually everywhere, from our airspace to our food and our water. So let's remember this not-so-fun fact from UNM.edu, that's University of New Mexico. Microplastics make their way from the gut to other organs, from UNM research. In a recent paper published in the Journal of Environmental Health Perspectives, University of New Mexico researchers found that those tiny particles, microplastics, are having a significant impact on our digestive pathways, making their way from the gut and into the tissue of the kidney, liver, and brain. That doesn't sound good, does it? Back to the backtracking on what the controllers don't want populations to awaken to from BBC. What is cloud seeding and did it cause Dubai flooding? Question mark. BBC report then says cloud seeding missions in Emirati territory are run by the National Center of Meteorology, that's the NCM, a governmental task force. Dubai has been hit by record floods over the past 24 hours, sparking, BBC says, misleading speculation about cloud seeding. While BBC has been unable to independently verify when cloud seeding took place, well, Bloomberg verified it. How come BBC can't? BBC then states, experts say that at best the cloud seeding, would have had a minor effect on the storm and that focusing on cloud seeding is, quote, misleading. They then say, earlier reports by Bloomberg suggested cloud seeding planes were deployed on Sunday and Monday, but not on Tuesday when the flooding occurred. Well, isn't that odd? I'll repeat what the Bloomberg article just stated, which I just covered. Seeding aircraft left Dubai airport on Monday and Tuesday to take advantage of convective cloud formation. Somebody doesn't have their story right. And again, in regard to the weather mod airplanes with a few flares strapped on the wings, that is nothing more than a smokescreen, no pun intended, for the exponentially more massive climate intervention operations, which are literally a global climate Manhattan project. Let's add this from Reuters.com. What caused Dubai floods? Question mark. Experts cite climate change, not cloud seeding. Now we're eliminating cloud seeding altogether. Complete backtracking of the entire story. The controllers absolutely don't want this story out, not as it was originally broken. They want to blame it on anything and everything but human intervention in the weather. They don't want this out on top of the legislation just passed in Tennessee. Think about it. Next, Apocalyptic Dubai floods shake picture perfect city. That's another from BBC. And this more recent headline on the Dubai deluge just completely omitted the government's admission of cloud seeding being involved. Why? Again, consider those who control the oil along with those who control the money. Connect the puzzle pieces. The liability ramifications for climate engineering, everything, are incalculable if the public wakes up to what's going on above their heads. Every single weather catastrophe then becomes a potential liability for those in power, and they will avoid that until the last possible moment if they possibly can. If you want to see shocking NASA satellite images of the skies around Dubai the day before the devastating deluge, follow me on Instagram. My handle is Dane Wigington, and you can look at these images and decide for yourself if the sky the day before looked natural or anything but. NASA satellite images. Matrix Media continues to do their best to do what they do best, to lie and deny. Those who control the money printing control militaries and media, all of it. They control the narrative. If they say climate engineering is just a conspiracy theory and a hoax, a disappointingly high percentage of the population still blindly believes, with no objective or honest investigation whatsoever. Programmed preconceptions, ideology, and conditioned bias. That's what rules the day. If Matrix Media says the armies of the empires, the most advanced and well-armed on the planet, are the unquestionable good guys, and that anyone who they eliminate are always the bad guys. Again, how many gladly and willingly choose to blindly believe exactly what they're told to believe, which keeps them from having to face any uncomfortable resistance in their social media circles? We wouldn't want that, would we? How many in the category that I just described have ever taken the time to carry out any objective investigation of the uncensored history surrounding conflict zones and the increasing chaos and carnage they include? Those who control the printing of money and have, for far longer than most dare to imagine, control it all, including the narrative, for the moment. From NewScientist.com, the perils and promise of extreme geoengineering. Footnote, after over 75 years of it, we're all learning about the perils the hard way, still waiting for those so-called promises. For the record, there is no benevolence in climate engineering operations. It is a weapon of power and control, period. But power structure-controlled institutions of indoctrination will still try to convince us otherwise. That's the task they are given. Headline from the University of Birmingham. Could geoengineering be more effective painkiller for global warming than previously thought? In a study published in Nature Geoscience, researchers at the University of Birmingham found that marine cloud brightening, also known as marine cloud engineering, works primarily by increasing the amount of cloud cover, accounting for 60 to 90% of cooling effect. Let's stop there. Unfortunately, the fact that climate engineering atmospheric aerosols dramatically reduce natural cloud cover isn't mentioned. What a surprise. Here's a Northern California recent weather chaos update. Since late March, on the east side of Lake Shasta, low elevation, 80 degrees. Late March to snow, back to 80 degrees, back to snow, now back to 85 degrees late this week. In more detail, last Sunday, I woke up to a fresh blanket of frozen white material, which I won't dignify with calling snow. That was April 14th in this location. Never seen that before here. And no, it wasn't hail either. This was after 80 degrees only days before. This frozen material was all gone within hours as temperatures rose rapidly by midweek back to 80 and even higher by late week. And in other parts of the country, the baseball-sized hail continues along with the flash chemical cooldowns at the surface, colliding warm and cold air masses also create cyclonic rotations. Ponder that. Anyone that still believes such unprecedented anomalies, which are now becoming the norm all over the world, are just random freak acts of nature, please wake up and do some real research, starting with the engineering winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. And am I denying all the other forms of human damage to the planet? Absolutely not. We have trashed this planet in the geologic blink of an eye in far too many ways to even begin to go into on this broadcast. It would take hours. It's a this and that equation, not a this or that equation like so many want to make it. We must face the whole truth, or we end up with something other than the truth. But let's start with stopping climate engineering, and then we can assess the damage done to the planet. As I've stated on this broadcast countless times, destructive drought and devastating deluge scenarios are the hallmark of climate engineering operations. For the record, again, there can be no legitimate discussion of climate anything from any perspective without first and foremost acknowledging and addressing climate disruption operations. So, where else has freak flash flooding hit this week, which U.S. Matrix Media hasn't said a word about, as they pump out nonstop scripted political theater? From Al Jazeera, at least 33 killed in Afghanistan as heavy rains set off flash floods. Also from Al Jazeera, because U.S. Matrix Media, again, is increasingly ignoring the rest of the world, deadly floods in India leave hundreds stranded. Another from Al Jazeera. Drone video shows extent of snow melt flooding in Russia and Kazakhstan. One more from Al Jazeera. Heavy rains kill 18 in Oman as flash floods lash UAE. Rescue teams search for missing people in Oman as bad weather disrupts travel in the United Arab Emirates. From BBC, Russia, Kazakhstan floods, high water levels swamp houses. From PHYS.org, lightning downpours kill 41 people across Pakistan. And from the UK Guardian, UK facing food shortages and price rises after extreme weather. Heavy rain likely to cause low yields in Britain and other parts of Europe, with drought in Morocco hitting imports. Here's a footnote for those Americans that are still clinging to the fantasy that Costco and Walmart shelves will always be stocked up with nanoparticle-filled processed Frankenfoods. Think again. The shortages are coming, and that's just the beginning. You can quote me on that. So do we need to go to Al Jazeera and other sources to get any clue about what's unfolding around the world? Short answer, yes. Other forms of media have been banned off major U.S. networks. They want you only to see what they tell you is the truth, and that's it. And about other sources, this is often true, even when it comes to the completely unnatural weather in the U.S. The following is a case in point from the UK Guardian. Unseasonal wildfires beset Midwest. Quote, the strangest winter I've ever seen. That's part of the headline. The U.S. Midwest typically spends the start of spring emerging from snow, but this year, after a warm winter left landscapes parched, the region instead was primed to burn. Hundreds of blazes have already ignited. Yes, the strangest winter ever. The winter that wasn't for many. And wait till next year, if we make it through the coming summer. From Bloomberg, climate change to cause $38 trillion a year in damages by 2049. The world economy will suffer less financial damage, the report says, if global warming is limited to 2 degrees C, according to research. First, too late for that. Based on unfiltered frontline temperature data, we are likely past 3.5 C over pre-industrial baselines right now. And there's absolutely no need to worry about this headline. On the current course, we won't make it to 2049 or 2039 or likely even 2029 without a total capsizing of the current reality. But again, so-called renewable energy that isn't to the rescue. Construction soon to begin on biggest U.S. offshore wind farm. That's from offshorewindbiz.com. It's Coastal Virginia Offshore Wind Project site, that's CVOW. What a great idea. More highly destructive wind farms, with climate engineering radically impacting wind patterns in the wrong direction, either too much or too little. And for those that don't know, I've cited this on the broadcast before, when you double the optimal wind speed for turbines, you make no power because they have to shut the turbines off to keep them from blowing apart. If you cut that wind speed in half, you make 1/8 the power they should make. And climate engineering is facilitating all or nothing wind scenarios. And let's build lots more massive solar farms also, right? The massive chemical ice nucleating hail can then completely obliterate the solar farms. And this is already happening. Please search it online. You will be absolutely shocked. Whole massive commercial solar farms completely annihilated by single hailstorms. Chemical ice nucleation for weather modification. Core to this equation. Please, please search the engineering winter section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. Search Chinese scientists create artificial snowstorm. Everybody covered it. Popular Science, Fox News, MSNBC. I've been over this so many times on this broadcast. How many people take the time to go look? Instead of just settling into their programmed preconceptions, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Everything is in the balance. Everything. And about our superheating seas, the bottom line from New York Times. Ocean heat has shattered records for more than a year. This is an ongoing story. It's getting worse every day. Every single day for over a year, the sea temperatures have been higher. New records every day. The Times report then says, what's happening? Question mark. They don't know. Yes, another example of so-called climate scientists stating, gee, we just can't figure it out. For the record, Geoengineering Watch has stated what's unfolding and why for 15 years. What took these so-called scientists so long to catch up and start telling the truth? From PHYS.org, tandem heat waves and storm surges increasingly batter coasts, study states. The coastal devastation is just beginning. Much worse is coming. You can quote me on that as well. Back to climate engineering that they say will save us from ourselves, from MSN.com. Scientists secretly launch ambitious experiments to reflect sunlight, the geoengineering method to bias time. This is a follow-up on the experiment in the Bay Area that means absolutely nothing. Smoke and mirrors to distract populations from what's occurring over their heads every single day. And the only reason I cited this more recent report on this smoke and mirrors so-called experiment that just occurred is because of the final statement in the headline, the geoengineering method that could bias time. So here's the question. Is this next report that I'm about to cover the kind of cure that the last report was alluding to, from record highs to record crop-crushing cold? So let's add this. From severeweather.eu, Europe braces for a cold spell and snow after record-breaking heat wave. Oh, it never ends. April has continued with an astonishing warm period across Europe, with hundreds of monthly temperature records shattered across large parts of the continent. But this week, the historic heat wave is coming to an end, and it will be a dramatic temperature change from above 30 C over the weekend into single digits by midweek. On top of it, they say, a sharp cold front will likely bring snow into lowlands across Central Europe and the Balkan Peninsula, followed by an increasing risk of damaging frost. They say from Sunday's 15 degrees C at this level to around negative 5 C by Tuesday, so nearly a 20 degrees C drop in less than 2 days. We can also see that the cold period will extend for at least another week, possibly even longer. They're reading the scheduled weather, period. The severeweather.eu report then says, quote, this will introduce an extreme risk of damaging frost to agriculture and blossoming trees. They say another cold bath is likely to follow the weekend and next week, potentially even lower temperatures and more frosty mornings, which means the potential for damaging morning frost and catastrophic consequences might follow to agriculture. That's what they're referring to. How many times have I cited the same thing happening in the U.S. West and other parts of the U.S.? Everything blooms and buds because of the ever warmer temperatures, and then they're wiped out by flash surface cold, chemical cold, and we know because we're testing this material. Don't eat it. It's packed full of climate engineering elements. Everything we test is. And we do have those pesky peer-reviewed studies which prove there's not an uncontaminated drop of rain on planet Earth, been over that many broadcasts. PFAS chemicals, and not to mention climate engineering elements which aren't tested for, every single drop of rain on the planet is now considered to be toxic. North Pole, South Pole, Mount Everest, everywhere in between. That's why the PFAS forever chemicals are showing up in everything, including us. On to the South Seas from philstar.com. 24 areas under danger heat classification. This is in the Philippines. 24 areas are expected to experience scorching temperatures of up to 46 degrees C on Tuesday, State Weather Bureau reported. Let's do some math on this. Because if these are the ambient temperatures, this is beyond alarming. The report isn't citing heat index, so we must assume this is ambient temperatures. And if that's the case, then here's the math. 46 C is about 115 degrees Fahrenheit. If, for example, the humidity levels were perhaps 50%, which should be conservative for a tropical island, then the heat index, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration heat index calculator, would be about 172.5 degrees. That's the feels-like temperature. Again, I'm only citing the temperatures in this report and providing a figure from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration heat index calculator. But whatever the heat index temperature is, we are entering what is known as the wet bulb effect, the feels-like temperatures that are beyond what the human body can tolerate. Look up that term, wet bulb temperatures. Learn more. We are in completely uncharted territory on planet Earth, and it will get rapidly worse from here. You can quote me on that as well. And it's not just the Philippines. From multiple sources, China hits 43 C in April. It's the hottest ever April temperature in China. nothing on Matrix Media about any of this. More puzzle pieces. First from Japan, this new report from the UK Daily Mirror. Japan earthquake. Yes, another one. Millions on high alert after 6.4 tremor leaves streets piled up with rubble. And the quake was just in time for this. That's what it's leading up to. Also on Japan from ABC News. Operative Japan's wrecked Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant prepares to restart another plant. So many great ideas from governments all over the world. So it's not only the U.S. that's going to restart decommissioned and dilapidated nuclear nightmare power plants. Japan is also going to get in on the action because they have to keep those air conditioners running as the world goes into full-blown temperature meltdown. Let's add some nuclear meltdown to go with it. Sprinting toward extremely near-term planetary omnicide. Welcome to the asylum. And above it all, climate engineering, officially just a conspiracy theory, rages on. You're listening to the weekly installment of Global Alert News, the Bad News Broadcast, installment number 454, April 20th, 2024. This is Dane Wigington, your host. Global Alert News is brought to you by geoengineeringwatch.org, the largest and most visited website in the world on the subject of climate intervention operations known as geoengineering. The commercial-free, non-political Global Alert News Hour is currently being aired on numerous AM and FM stations throughout the country. Recordings of this broadcast can be found on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org under the recent column and on the Dane Wigington YouTube channel. Geoengineering Watch wishes to express our deepest gratitude to those that have helped us to expand our reach and thus our voice in this very desperate last-hour effort to sound the alarm. On that subject, if you're on our email list, please put us on your email contact book so that our mailouts don't go to the spam files. Please help us to share the groundbreaking documentary, The Dimming, which fully exposes the climate engineering atrocities, now with over 10 million views. And thanks to each and every individual that helps share this documentary to reach that level. The best way to share is by circulating the direct link to The Dimming by email directly from the homepage of Geoengineering Watch. Sharing directly helps us to overcome social media censorship. When viewing our YouTube of The Dimming or Global Alert News or any other Geoengineering Watch video on YouTube, please subscribe, share, and comment, all of which helps us to circulate critically important data to a much wider audience. How do we reach those that still aren't looking up? Here's one way. By starting the conversation with Geoengineering Watch awareness-raising materials, which can be found on our homepage. Our only goal to provide activists what they need to move this fight forward. Extremely high-quality printed materials, flyers, 20-page fact and photo summary booklets with shocking images. A picture's worth a thousand words, as the proverb goes, and we pass this material on for less than our overall cost of producing and shipping. Our only goal to win this fight. We have Geoengineering Watch hoodies that go with our Geoengineering Watch shirts. Photos of both are on our homepage. We have scannable business cards and bumper stickers, all effective tools to help strike up a conversation on the climate engineering issue. Reaching a critical mass of awareness on the climate engineering onslaught is the only way forward in this fight. If we can expose it, we can stop it from the inside out. If you're willing to share a picture of yourself with a Geoengineering Watch t-shirt or hoodie, perhaps at the local mall or somewhere busy, please send us your photo so that we can post it as part of our activist compilation, which is now part of our materials page. The images encourage others to make their voice is heard in this all-important battle to sound the alarm. And to all those that are steadfastly committed to this must-win fight, for all that matters, I want to express my deepest and most profound gratitude. As always, it's our collective efforts that can absolutely still make a difference, even at this late hour. Moving on to more of the fundamental factors on which our collective futures most completely depends, about the Arctic and climate engineering. More bad news from Springer Nature. Radiative forcing geoengineering causes higher risk of wildfires and permafrost thawing over Arctic regions. That doesn't sound good, does it? The report then states, radiative forcing geoengineering is discussed as an intermediate solution to partially offset greenhouse gas-driven warming by altering the Earth's energy budget. Let's stop there for a moment. Think how absurd and insane all of this is, that this simplistic so-called solution to fill our skies with toxic, light-scattering nanoparticles, which completely destroys the ozone layer. Hope to cover more on that next week. Disrupts the hydrological cycle and contaminates everything. What a great idea, right? Not so much. They continued. The three methods are stratospheric aerosol injection, marine cloud brightening, and cirrus cloud thinning to mitigate global temperature rise. However, under our experimentation and designs, the projected Arctic temperatures are higher than if the same temperature was achieved under emission mitigation. The maximum temperature increase under cirrus cloud thinning and marine cloud brightening is linked to carbon dioxide plant physiological forcing, shifting the system into climatic conditions, favoring the development of fires. Let's stop there. In summary, geoengineering, more overall heat, more fires. Please search the engineering wildfire section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. There are so many layers to this insanity that's been inflicted upon citizens of the planet and the entire web of life without our knowledge or consent, an experiment from which there is no return. Footnote, climate intervention operations can create, again, short-term toxic surface cooldowns at the cost of an even worse overall meltdown. Case in point, new from the Daily Kos, it's KOS. Due to massive ice loss, Greenland's gravity is weakening, which is bad news for the Southern Hemisphere. From that report, a Canadian senior researcher with the Geological Survey of Denmark in Greenland recently cited on a study in Nature that found the Greenland ice sheet is losing more ice than previously thought. We hear this every week. More reports. It's way worse than we thought. Gee, we didn't know. The total ice loss, about 30 million tons an hour on average. It's 9 or 10,000 tons a second. And that much ice loss is affecting gravity that's weakening over Greenland, and that has an impact on how the ocean is shaped. Greenland is a relatively massive object, and it holds a sort of a permanent tide of water close to it. And so as Greenland begins to get smaller, its gravity begins to get weaker, and that water that holds tight begins to slosh away to faraway places in the world where the gravity isn't weakening. So the upshot is that when Greenland loses mass and dumps ice into the ocean, most of the sea level rise is felt in the southern hemisphere. And on the flip side, when Antarctica loses mass and weakens its gravity, that's when sea level is felt more in the northern hemisphere. Those fun facts that are never talked about on mainstream media. Next, more on meltdown from MSN.com. Scientists uncover alarming trend following 40 years of snowpack observations. They will be adapting to permanent changes. A new study from Dartmouth College revealed that seasonal snowpacks have significantly decreased in size over the past 40 years across the Northern Hemisphere because of human-driven atmospheric pollution. What part of that equation are they not going to mention here? Many regions are, quote, approaching a critical snow loss cliff. As a result, they report that there needs to be changes when it comes to management of water resources. They continue, by preparing now for these changes and embracing solutions like water conservation and clean energy, we can all do our part to keep winter wonderlands alive for generations to come. Yeah, really. And let's add Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and the Tooth Fairy to this equation, because that's how fantasy all of this is. If we just think happy thoughts and buy a solar panel and recycle our plastic, most of which isn't recyclable anyway, something they don't tell us, then we'll all live happily ever after. Except that's not how the story ends. And it's because of this kind of Pollyanna finish on so many articles that people don't understand what's happening, how severe it is and how immediate it is. Because nobody in Matrix Media or the so-called science community is willing to tell the unvarnished truth, and that needs to change immediately because we are out of time. How's the polar ice doing, by the way? Record low mass. The Arctic ice extent is now calculated by assuming that any area of the Arctic Ocean that is 15% slush, and much of that chemically nucleated sea surface slush, we have satellite images to prove that, 15% of slush or more is considered ice pack. Isn't that still 85% ocean? That's how they statistically hide how severe the meltdown is. The mass, the volume, which is all that matters, is at all-time record low North and South Pole. Consider that. Statistical lying in every conceivable arena. And again, consider the temperatures. We've just passed the 10th consecutive record warm month in a row, the 456th or 7th consecutive above normal temperature month in a row. The planet's in total meltdown, and countless forms of human activity are the cause. This is not some coincidental cosmological event. Whatever's going on cosmologically, we have to look at the cause and effect that we know of and can prove. Climate engineering, a core part to this equation. Man's attempt to use weather as a weapon and to mask the severity of what's unfolding by engineering chemical surface cooldowns, toxic chemical cooldowns, including massive hail, 80 degrees, snow, back to 80 degrees. How obvious can this be? These are patented processes. Chinese government openly admitted they are doing it about 15 years ago, I believe, until they did $1 billion worth of damage to Beijing, at which time they went underground with this because their population was not very happy about that. Please, please research, connect the dots. Don't go about your life like nothing's wrong, because so much is about to change. Please help us to expose it while we can still make a difference. More on drought deluge scenarios from king5.com. Department of Ecology declares drought emergency for most of Washington state. Drought deluge scenarios. So while people think the West Coast has had all this rain from all these atmospheric rivers, what do? When this unorganized moisture drifts in, they are aerosolizing it. Too many condensation nuclei, which means the droplets don't combine and fall. They just migrate on. We have day after day of this featureless sky with nothing falling out. They use frequency transmissions, which we can track and have. Search geoengineeringwatch.org hurricanes to see the extreme example of the frequency transmissions and how they affect weather systems. So they blow this moisture apart, and we might have some days where we have 8 or 10 West Coast states covered with largely rainless cloud canopy. Not natural cloud canopy, aerosol cloud canopy. And that's exactly what solar radiation management is about. And that creates drought deluge scenarios. So now we have extreme drought in Washington that most don't know about. Areas of the state, the report says, are expected to see the lowest levels of stream flow on record. This raises serious concerns for fish and other species, according to the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And those stream flows are not only low in water, that water is heating up radically fast. Destroyed ozone layer and surface temperatures in general. We are in truly, truly uncharted territory. More from the UK Daily Mail. More than 30 million Americans could face drinking water crisis as officials find major flaws in U.S. dam. Pipe damage has been found in the Glen Canyon Dam that feeds Lake Mead. Officials said there will not be a spring release of water downstream. Inspectors from the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation found serious pipe damage in the Glen Canyon Dam, which means that there will be no spring water release threatening water supplies downstream. That's a lot of Americans. And we really don't know what's happening here. How could we know? They can say anything they want. They can find any reason they want to do anything they want. That's how it works. In South America, same story, new from Yahoo.com. This headline, here's the headline. Go and drink water somewhere else, Colombian president tells Bogota residents. Go somewhere else, find some water, because we don't have it here anymore. We're talking about a lot of people. And remember Mexico City? From many sources, Mexico City with 22 million inhabitants, almost out of water. From MSN.com, parched and shrinking. Touched on this earlier in this broadcast, vital Moroccan dam dries up. Morocco's second largest reservoir that serves some of its major cities and has been central to farm irrigation is drying up, according to satellite images analyzed by the BBC. Drought deluge scenario, the single greatest hydrological cycle affecting factor is climate intervention operations, period. Please search the engineering drought section on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. We have stated this on the record since the beginning of our existence at geoengineeringwatch.org, and now it has reached a level where it is nearly impossible to hide. And the continued denial of these operations and their catastrophic effects by the so-called climate science community is far beyond criminal. Same with the media. Are not all of them accomplices in this crime of planetary omnicide? I'll leave that up to the listener to determine. Let's put this into the puzzle. From Money Talks News, thousands of U.S. cities could become ghost towns by 2100, study says. No, we need to worry about 2100 again. We have nowhere near that amount of time. But they say a new study forecasts that by 2100, nearly 30,000 U.S. cities, 30,000 cities, could face population decline due to climate change, listen carefully to this, or efforts to mitigate it. What does that mean? 30,000 cities abandoned by efforts to mitigate climate change? That has a lot of ramifications in that statement, doesn't it? What about this from the UK Guardian? EPA has limited 6 forever chemicals in drinking water. What a relief. Safe drinking water now. Oh, but there's the other 15,000 PFAS chemicals that they don't address. They address 6, but they forget about 15,000 more. Think about that. Human insanity and agencies that are not there to disclose threats to the public, but there to hide them. I've said this on so many broadcasts, I could never remember how many. Take all this in. Understand where we're heading at blinding speed. And yes, the flashing light and blaring horn you hear is an oncoming train. From InsideClimateNews.org, should toxic wastewater from gas drilling be spread on Pennsylvania roads as a dust and snow suppressant? Question mark. The report says highly saline wastewater containing proprietary drilling chemicals. What might those be? As well as benzene, arsenic, and radium-226 and 228, both radioactive isotopes. Yeah, let's spread that all over the roads where it can run off into waterways and eventually drinking water. What a great idea, again, from the so-called officials, official agencies, climate scientists. This is what they're doing while everyone's going about their business with beer, football games, and political theater. We have to wake up. We don't have much time. On to the dying seas, which happens when they superheat, are acidified, and poisoned, as I just mentioned. Next from MSN.com, California coast salmon fishing shut down for second year due to population decline, just the beginning. Everything's dying in the ocean. Salmon, whales, forager fish, everything. This report then says the salmon population's recovery isn't expected till around 2026 or 2027. Good luck with that. Be lucky if anything is left by then. From AccuWeather, six rare sawfish deaths in 7 days have scientists baffled amid bizarre Florida fish behavior. They just can't figure it out. They say there's no concrete, conclusive proof of what's happening, and yet it's still to be determined, which is, quote, quite terrifying, said Greg, I don't want to try to pronounce his last name, a lifelong diver in the Florida Keys. He said if it continues, it's going to be the end of this ecosystem as we know it. It's still a mystery, they say, as to why the sawfish have been dying in record numbers. Why is it a mystery? When you have water temperatures of 102 degrees, you have toxic seaweed everywhere that emits hydrogen sulfide, you have oil spills in the Gulf, Corexit, which was 52 times more toxic than the oil itself, but they used it because it hid the problem. I could go on and on and on. There's no limit to human insanity, and for people to pretend that they can't understand why everything's dying is absolutely beyond mind-numbing. From Yahoo.com, scientists create new warning system after unimaginable coral mortality event. They say we are entering a new world. That's an understatement. They say for years, the United States National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration has categorized coral reefs as five levels of concern, from no stress to most threatened. But disturbing new reports of record-setting temperatures have prompted NOAA to add three new higher warning levels to their system. In other words, it's over. From the UK Guardian, global heating pushes coral reefs towards worst planet-wide mass bleaching on record. They say huge swaths of corals have turned bone white along Brazil's vast Atlantic coastline from the northeast states to the Rio Grande, including the 120-kilometer-long marine park called Coral Coast. Dead. Barrier Reef. All but dead. I've been there twice, two expeditions to the Barrier Reef. This is beyond heartbreaking. From Reuters.com, Brazil braces for worst coral bleaching ever. Just covered that from The Guardian. From the Sydney Morning Herald, unprecedented spread of coral bleaching along Great Barrier Reef. Just mentioned that. Also, three-quarters of the Great Barrier Reef has been hit in a widespread coral bleaching sparked by a marine heat wave, with aerial survey results revealing a major bleaching event unfolding along the entire length of the 2,300-kilometer-long ecosystem. And the kelp forests are already dead. Oceans are dying by the day. You can't just turn off this momentum. We are hurtling toward a planet that will not sustain life. From the New York Times, the widest ever global coral crisis will hit within weeks, scientists say. Rising sea temperatures around the planet have caused a bleaching event that is expected to be the most extensive on record. Not expected, it already is. And it's getting worse by the day. Next, from the Netherlands Institute for Sea Research, impact of climate change on marine life much bigger than previously known. Again and again and again, we just didn't know. They say fish and invertebrate animals are far more affected by warmer and more acidic seawater than was previously known, based on a new analysis published in the Scientific Journal of Nature Communications. If ocean warming and acidification continue the current trajectory, up to 100% of the biological processes in fish and invertebrate species will be affected. In other words, everything gone. Canfield Ocean, look it up. And we are hurtling toward that exact scenario. The manipulators of the matrix know full well that they must keep the normalcy bias in the majority of the masses fully fueled. Because the moment a critical majority wake up to reality and the facade is shattered, the party's over. Here's an unfolding example. Haiti has now gone into Mad Max scenario. Coming to a neighborhood near you, and there are over 36 countries already heading down the same road. Many more are coming. Wait and see. Here's an example in its early stages from Yahoo.com. Crime-ridden San Francisco seeks to allow lawsuits against grocery stores fleeing the city as mass corporate exodus continues. From the EconomicTimes.com, UN climate chief says 2 years to save the planet. And many will mistakenly conclude from that headline that so long as we act in the next 2 years, everything will be fine. A conclusion that couldn't be further from reality. For the record, we passed the point of no return at blinding speed 2 to 3 decades ago. There's no going back. The question now is, again, will anyone survive what's already unfolding and accelerating? To be clear, a nuclear war isn't needed, though that is likely on the menu also. Even if all human activity and destruction stop today, impact is still inevitable. It can't be stopped, only further accelerated by even more doubling down on what got us here in the first place. So where do we go from here? Consider this new headline from the UK Guardian. No birdsong, no water in the creek, no beating wings. How a haven for nature fell silent. The article is about a man who has recorded the sounds of nature for decades, the calls of countless forms of life that are now silent. This report struck a very deep chord with me. How well I know this story, because I've lived it. In years now past, when I worked feverishly in the forest of Northern California restoring habitat in the region where I live off-grid, I would often bed down for the night, wherever I was at the end of a long summer day. Within the first faint glimmers of sunlight, sleep was no longer an option, as the forest was alive with countless singing birds of various species. It was life. It was miraculous and beautiful. And so I would begin another day in the forest with all of these bird songs ringing in my ears. And it grieves me to the marrow to say that they are all but gone. And the few birds that remain, struggling to survive, are generally silent. They sing no more. There are very few insects remaining. The predominant trees of Western North America, the Douglas fir, are all in various stages of decline or already dead. All other species are struggling and also declining. Fungal diseases are epidemic. Toxic rain kills soil microbiome and root systems. The forest die-off follows. The beetles, on which everything is blamed, are only a symptom. I now weep when I walk through the wild where my silent, sentient friends struggle to endure it all. Why and how can so many be so blind? In such moments, I reach for and cling to principles, rules for life and living that I've tried my best to adhere to since the age of 14. Among these principles, this, that we must always remember what is in our control and what isn't, what we can truly call our own and what not. The following words were spoken nearly 2,000 years ago by the Stoic philosopher Epictetus. His writings crossed my path when I was very young. From Epictetus, when you are thus prepared and trained to distinguish what belongs to others from your own, what is liable to restraint from what is not, to esteem the one, your will, as your own property from what is not, to keep your desire, to keep your aversion carefully regulated by this principle, whom have you any longer to fear? No one. For about what should you be afraid? About what is your own, which consists of the essence of good and evil? And who has any power over this but you? Who can take away your will? Who can hinder you in this regard any more than God can be hindered? But are you afraid for body, for possessions, for what belongs to others, for what is nothing to you? And what have you been studying all this while but to learn to distinguish from what is your own and all that which is not? What is in your power and what is not in your power? What is liable to restraint and what is not? And what is grief to you? For whatsoever we anticipate with fear, we endure with grief. For what, then, will you any longer passionately wish? For you have acquired a temperate and steady desire of things solely dependent on your will and the correct use of it. Since then, you are unaffected with regard to things, i.e. personal possessions and everything outside the control of your own will. What man can any longer be formidable to you? Answer, none. These nearly 2,000-year-old words of wisdom from the lame slave Stoic philosopher Epictetus, mentor to the only sane Roman emperor Marcus Aurelius, have echoed through my mind for so many years and through so many challenges, along with this most foundational Stoic principle, that it would be better to die 1,000 deaths than to desert the post at which God has placed you. Each of us, all of us, are here at this most monumental moment in the entire history of the human race by design. It isn't an accident of fate. All that is ever asked of us is to do our best, to do what we should do, to do what must be done, given our individual circumstances. Dogma, denial, willful blindness, and inaction must be overcome. All is now in the balance. No fear, no trepidation, no timidity. We must all summon the courage to abandon notions of what we thought and hoped would be and fully embrace what is. We must rise to the occasion. We must face the gathering storm head on, because only in doing so can true solace be found. And if a critical mass of such an effort can be achieved, we may yet accomplish profound good even at this late hour. Check the activist suggestions link on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org for specific instructions on how you can help to move this fight forward. Please, while you can, and in any peaceful and productive way you can, make your voice heard. Make every day count. Stay strong. Never yield to the insanity, ever. Until next week, this is Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org.